In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Dynamics of the marital relationship.
Tonight, God's willing, we'll discuss the dynamics of the marital relationship. I will tell you a fact, a principle. Do you remember principle number one, which we have started in the beginning of the first presentation to the English speaking? What was that principle? 5L. Look, listen, and learn from the Lord Jesus Christ how to live and love. Still remember it? Although you are going by that principle, but expect that conflicts must happen. Unless you are dead, there is no family without a conflict. But conflicts are usually one of the ways towards better communication and understanding. They are used towards better communication and understanding. So don't fear conflicts. If you find any conflict, it means we could communicate about it, understand our differences, acknowledge our differences, and try to work it out. But conflict doesn't mean that we are going to fight. Conflict means two who are disagreeing about certain concept or certain idea or certain thought. I will start this presentation by the word refuge. Every couple, even before starting their marriage, they have to settle with one another who will be their refuge if a conflict will happen. Our refuge is God. Good for you. Yes, we have to try with one another, and God with us, we'll learn from Him and listen to Him and see Him, but our ears are not tuned to hear His voice clearly. Our spiritual eyes are not trained to see Him clear, to see His presence clearly. We were not trained in our original homes to learn from Jesus Christ through His commandment. So what to do? As an advice, there has to be a spiritual guide for your marriage. We call him, or her if you want, the refuge. Don't allow any conflict to stay more than 3 months unresolved. Go to your refuge. Is there any value for the refuge? Of course. Because we will set between my spouse and I that whatever our refuge which we have chosen by our free will and choice, whatever is going to say is said to us by God. Most probably He will be a father of confession, but not necessarily your father or her father of confession. Could be somebody else. Because maybe your father of confession will be siding with you. She will think like that. And you will think that her father will side with her. Okay? We could take either one of them, if we agree about, or a third one. He will be for our marital conflicts or guiding us in our marital life. So there is a tremendous value if we will accept what he is going to say as if it's coming to us from Jesus Christ, which we are unable to hear his voice or see him or learn from him in our relationship. Then who could be that one? Anyone, both of us, will accept, preferably not a member of the two families. Say, Abuna so-and-so is my dad, and I'm married to someone. I will take my dad as a refuge for my marriage. No. Conflict of interest. No. Why? Because he's a dad. But he's a father of confession. We prefer to be someone neutral. Actually, I prefer as a father, as a dad, for two of my children who are married, they don't tell me anything. And I'm a professional counselor. Don't tell me anything of their problems. You go to the father of confession. Because I'm still a dad. I might be biased. Or at least, if I'm neutral, the other spouse will think that I'm biased. So why I go into that trouble? So, the way we choose, he has a value or she has a value. If she is, say, a good mother in the church and all of you respect her, fine. I mean, she was well respected in her spirituality and her guidance. Good, if both of you agree about that. But not a relative. Now, could any one of us go to their refuge alone by himself or herself? Of course. Or both of us must go at the same time? Not necessarily. Anybody could go. Or both could go. Maybe I will take his permission or advice about what kind of gift I could get to my wife. What kind of trip. If I invite her for a surprise party, do I invite such and such friends? Whatever. I don't want her to know. Abuna, do I disclose to her what happened in my past in such and such area? He'll tell me yes or no, he'll advise me. Now, how often? You could go any time. But as I told you, please don't wait more than 3 months if you have unresolved conflict. But if you go to him every 2 weeks, something urgent, you want to go to him, fine. But he has to accept to be your mentor, your refuge, the advisor for your marital relationship. This God and the mentor, please have someone to help you, to go to. If there's something, if anything happened during the engagement, and continue after that during your marital life. Could we change our refuge? Yes, you could change. But the two together must agree about that. Because he has to be acceptable and you are accountable, both of you are accountable to him about fulfilling, satisfying the message which is going to tell you and the directional advice. Now we are going to go into something. Some of you, if you are not married yet, might not know how serious it is. The dynamics of marital relationship. I will read so many issues, and by the end of tonight's presentation, I will discuss midlife crisis. But there are so many issues about this area of dynamics, And we have a diagram. Do you have it? Go into the pages to find the diagram. Or if it is presented here, you could see it. A circle with a triangle in the middle and smaller circles outside. And underneath written dynamics of matter relationship. Did you find it?
Dynamics of the marital relationship. Number one, the ultimate unity. A, Christ and divine grace. B, spouses. C, bonding. D, attraction. E, time and effort. F, unity.
In this diagram you are looking at, you will find the bigger, large circle is the divine grace surrounding the whole family. And the family is inside, represented by three smaller circles and lines joining those three circles. Divine grace, which is surrounding ni'mat Rabbana, which is surrounding the whole family, outside this bigger circle, you will find other smaller circles I will discuss later. Now, the three smaller triangles inside the circle, the top one at the top of the triangle, the Holy Spirit or God or Jesus Christ, and the lower two circles inside each one, spouse, husband and wife, two spouses. So the two spouses, husband and wife, are joined by two lines, and each one of them is joined by two lines to Christ. They are bonded together, and each one of them is bonded to Christ. What is the ultimate unity? When the three circles overlap, which means those bonds, those lines between the circles will get shorter and thicker, shorter and shorter and shorter. As a result, the three will coincide, will overlap, will be one circle. Correct? Could it happen? Of course, it could happen. We are in a matrimonial mystery. Christ is holding by one hand a spouse and the other arm and hand the other spouse. Just imagine those two lines. One line is the arm and the hand holding one spouse around the circle. And then he will gather the two together and into himself. If there's time and effort spent for the two to come together and towards Christ, there will be ultimate unity. But if one of the spouses spends more time, just think with me please, if one spouse spends more time and more effort to get closer to Christ, and the other one will stay as he is or as she is, what will happen? He will be closer to Christ, but the distance between him and the other spouse will get longer, will get away. So he or she has to encourage the other spouse for the two together to get closer to one another and towards Christ. And if each one of them is determined to get closer to Christ, and they are going nearly with the same rate, same nearly, what will happen finally? The three will get together, will coincide, will meet. Ultimate unity. Now, imagine if one of the two spouses is attracted to go by that arrow towards the outside smaller circles. If one of the two spouses, there's an arrow coming out of the spouse circle directed towards the outside of the big circle of the divine grace. Now, if one of them spends more time and more effort, his or her heart is more outside the circle of the family, what will happen? He will get away from the other spouse and away from Christ who is in the family, even if he's involved in service of the church, which means his unity with the other spouse and with Christ to be one could be delayed. So what are the circles outside? If you name the circles outside, you'll find the top smaller one, the family, original family, then work, then a circle with a question mark, then friends, then church. Correct? Are you following? If I spend more time and effort with any one of those smaller circles, more than spending with my spouse in a trial to get with him or with her towards Christ who is in the triangle, which means Christ is in the church outside. Christ is everywhere. But I'm talking about the mystery, matrimonial mystery. If I will spend more time and effort outside, say with my original family, with my work, with the question mark which could be hobbies or extramarital affair, or with my friends, or in the church, serving in the church, and I'm neglecting and ignoring my spouse and my children inside the family, what will happen? I will get distracted to the outside. And the lines between the two spouses will get interrupted, much thinner and interrupted. Now, where are the children in this diagram? If there are children, they're not going to be on the lines joining their spouses together or their spouses to Jesus Christ. It could be somewhere in the triangle or within the large circle. Children. Now, if I focus on the children more than the matrimonial relationship, I will get distracted from my spouse. But they need care, yes. As we're going to read now about the smaller circles one by one, and I'll discuss it with you. But the general idea now, you have a large circle, which is the grace of God surrounding the family. The family in the form of a triangle. Christ or God and the two spouses. The ultimate goal is for the three to coincide, to overlap, to be one circle. How? By time and effort spent in intimacy and with Christ. So at the end, the three will be really one without any difference. They are united from the beginning of marriage, but in a trinal relationship. But the unity increases more and more and more till they become really one in everything. It takes time and effort for that intimate relationship to happen. And there are obstacles which stand against this ultimate unity and intimacy. One of them could be the children and the other five circles. You have the first one as the obstacles or hindrances, not titled children. Or there's children here? hindrances. What's under hindrances? Children? Okay. Okay.
Children, contraception, pregnancy, abortion, how many, parenting and utilitarian marriage, marital satisfaction curve.
The two spouses will start to think, no, we won't say 5 years on contraception. We don't want to have children. And there will be a dispute, a conflict. No, two years only. No, I don't want to have pills. You use other methods for you as a man. Or postponing it. Or if pregnancy will happen, this unwanted pregnancy, let's go for abortion. How many children do we have? Is it sufficient to have a boy and a girl? Or one, three, or four? By the way, the trend now in the American family is to have 4 and 5 children. Before, only 2. Now the trend is more. I'm talking about the real American families. Young families. To have more children as when they were in the 50s or the 40s. So, as long as you are capable of raising them right in God, God bless you. But those issues could come to the utilitarian, which means parenting styles could be a source of conflicts. And if I spend most of my time focused on parenting and the children and I forget about my marital relationship, we called it and named it yesterday utilitarian marital relationship, which means I'm focused on the utilities. The children are utilities, which means outside the triangle. They are not in the bonds joining one to another, from the spouses and to Christ. So we have to care for the children. When, how many? Of course, no abortion. We don't believe in abortion. Contraception, contraceptive methods which we use, it has to be certain ways acceptable to the church, which means this method doesn't allow fertilization between the male and female cells, like the IUD, intrauterine device, which allow fertilization, and then after 2 weeks, it will be aborted with the pill, with the cycle. So, we have to consult with the Father of Confession about the particular method which will prevent either ovulation or prevent the sperms from reaching into the uterus. Prevent the two to get fertilized. But once it's a fertilized ovum, then it is a viable human being. Cannot be aborted. Unless God will allow it to abort by itself. So we don't use IUDs. And the other methods which are not safe, like the safe period. I mean, after or before certain time, usually we miscalculate. So consult with the Father of Confession, tell you, and most probably it will be either condoms or the pills. Or the first 9 days of the cycle, or the last 9 days or 8 days of the cycle. The middle ones is most probably a time in which ovulation could happen, not in particular in the 14th day, and fertilization could happen. So you are so restricted, and you could consult your OBGYN and your Father of Confession there. other than the children? What is it?
Original family. Original family, authority of the parents, guidelines in dealing with the original family, the emotional umbilical cord, care, honor your mother and father, visitation, communication, accommodation.
How to deal with our original family? We have to honor our father and mother. At the same time, I have to honor my marital relationship. Then I have to ask myself, what are the priorities? What could be the priorities in my life? You have so many circles. You have God, you have the other spouse, you have original family, you have your work, your job, your career, your friends, service in the church, your hobbies. What could be the priorities? And you have the children too. The priorities must be as follows. Number one, God. My heart will be mostly with God, which means He is my priority in my life. Number two, my spouse. Number three, my children. Again, God, my spouse, then the children. One, two, and three. Then you choose from outside which one come number four. Could be all of them number four. Could be four, five, six, and seven. It depends. If you want the original family and the relatives, father, mother, brother, sister, and other relatives in the original family, you want it to be number four, fine with you. But you have to decide with your spouse. You want your work, it's up to you. Time and effort and your heart is in. We have to honor our father and mother. We have to communicate with them. And we have to care for them if they need care. We have to visit them. At certain times, could be one every week, not every day. Unless you are obliged to leave your children with them. But visitation for the two families, if they are there, if they are around you, I am recommending not more once a week. Not more. Unless there is a certain need, someone is sick, someone who needs special care. Why? Especially if the other spouse, his or her family are not around. He will feel bad or she will feel bad. Even if the family, your own family, are very good family. Mother-in-law and father-in-law. So I have to care and put in my consideration. The priorities again. Spouse comes number what? Number two. And family number four. But he's my father, my mother. If you are really wise, love of the mother and the father is so different than love for your spouse and love of the children and love to God. And your heart is capable in different compartments to have these different kind of love. Love of your work. You have to love your work. But love your work is like love to God or your spouse or your children. There are so different kinds of love. And all of them are love. All of them need care. But if the time spent at your work is 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, of course I'm not spending with my spouse every day more than 1 hour. But nobody can tell me, your spouse or your work, of course my spouse. Your father and mother or your work, of course my father and mother. If you have a choice between God and your work, of course God, if I will come to such a critical situation, and it happens in our life, if I care for my children more than spouse and God, I will defeat the priorities. And these priorities are biblical, and early fathers have set it. After the children, everything could be okay outside the circle of your marriage, outside the circle of your family. Now, we have to care, we have to visit our original family, but how about if I have to accommodate them permanently with my family in my house? I don't prefer that. But if there's a necessity, someone who is really sick, stick to the priorities. Your mother cannot be the queen of the kitchen and the queen of the house and your wife as it is not there. It will be conflict every day, and the husband will be torn between the two. There has to be boundaries which are set from the beginning. If you can't afford an apartment for the dignity and honor of your mother and father very close to your own apartment or to your own house, or you don't have an in-law suite in your home which you could build if you like, if you cannot afford that, if you have an apartment, get an apartment in the same building. But if it's a necessity for them to be accommodated, say it's a widow or someone who really needs care, then there are certain rules and regulations, guidelines, so important to take the counsel of who? The refuge, before you do it. And I assure you, there will be more conflicts. She is so holy, the mom or mother-in-law. Dad or father-in-law is so holy of a man, but they have certain needs. Time, you need time and effort. How much time you spend with your mother, how much time you spend with your children, how much time you spend with your spouse, your wife, inside the house, inside the family. After returning from work at 6 or 7 p.m., how many hours remaining to sleep? Between eating and studying, parenting your spouse and your in-laws, it could cause problem. I prefer, if I am in a situation, to live in a separate apartment, very close. If I'm sick, I could be in a senior citizen home or senior citizen building, where the manager of the team will care about me and for me. Or if I'm really sick, nursing home. But if you are so generous and kind, you have set boundaries and guidelines from the beginning, and be guided by your refuge always to prevent conflicts from happening. What's after the original family?
Work. A dream, business, career, jobs, competition, layoff, pension, retirement, time and effort, interest.
I'm sorry, all these issues, if you think of it by yourself, all of you are good thinkers. You could find so many issues. But be careful, some of us are workaholic. And most of the time will be taken by your job. You feel your job is the only source for providing for the family. And there's so many layoffs these days. If you are a businessman owning a company, your own business, it takes time. So you spend most of your time and thinking in your business, and you forgot about your family. Review the priorities. Review the commitments every month. Commitments I have mentioned before, the five commitments in the beginning, which are be joined to your wife, cleaving. Review marital commitments in your mind. Put these marital commitments in front of you in any place so you don't forget about them. Why? Because that area of the business or the work will be the source of midlife crisis one day, which I'm going to discuss. During layoff, there will be depression and others first must care more. Retirement time, also extra stress with other spouse and the children. We must have something to spend our time in. A program, either senior citizen program in the city or in the church. We are still active. If you are able to work, work. Any kind of work. But if you stay home, you will be a stress on the family and on yourself more. All these issues are important, but be careful from the priorities, God, your spouse, children, and this is outside. Which means you could spend 8 hours, but I'm missing my family. I'm calling my wife or my spouse in the middle. I'm waiting for the time to return to my home and my children. Because my heart is with God in that family, not at my work. Some of us are using the work as a refuge to escape from the family. They stay more hours. They return intentionally after the sleep of everybody. Everybody has slept. Or after they return, they stay with the electronics till everybody will sleep. Why? Because they want to escape. It's communication and marital relationship and with the children parenting. Other hindrances.
The hobbies. Extramarital affair. Friends and activities. Church and service.
That last one. Church and service. If my service, you're not the priest, I'm talking about the priest, I'm talking about servants, Sunday school, and if your service, Tasson is now will attack me, if your service as a Sunday school servant will contradict with your family, go to the refuge and tell him. Sometimes Father of Confession will tell you, for some time you don't serve. Your family needs you. If the two contradict, and there are certain conflicts, because your spouse and the needs of the children are not allowing you to serve in the church, serve only the time your Father of Confession or the refuge will tell you to do. Because some, as I told you, I remember one case. He was the administrator of Sunday school, khidmah, in one of the big churches in the United States, large one. And after finishing from his work, he has to go every night visitation to other servants, and comes home and ask about them by phone, and goes to his office and close the door, and no member of the family will see him till midnight. Involved in Bible preparing, outreaching for others, calling others, solving problems, and he doesn't see his wife and the rest of the children. You know what will happen? What happened is his spouse, his wife, got a nervous breakdown. Is that because God? No. Because he is not looking carefully to the priorities. And she went to a mental hospital twice because it's not caring for her. Even father of the church, the bishop, when he's ordaining them, he will tell them, take care of your family first. Because he was married before marrying the altar. He can't forget about his original family. He has to care for his family. So the priorities is the same. If you have hobbies, you have friends, it has to be at a certain time and with the agreement and acceptance of your spouse. Most of the married couples, their friends are married couples, and there are certain times to visit one another or socialize. But you leave your spouse and the children and go with your original friends as if you are single is unacceptable. If you want to play tennis, if you want to play whatever in the gym, take your wife with you if you don't have children, or go for a certain limited time and then return. In most of the gym, if you go to any gym, take your wife with you and you'll find someone who will take care of the children for you. But I mean, enjoy with your wife good time, even in sports. If you are interested, say your hobby is antique cars and sticking all your mind to the extent maybe you're not going to pay any expenses for your family and all your mind going, this is wrong. But if your hobby is internet, you are at home, spending time at home, but your heart and your real time is not at home. You are a missing person. You are an absent member of the family because you are glued to the screen. I'm not talking about what you are doing with the internet. It could be with the stock market. You could be playing any games. You can do whatever. Searching, researching, and but if you cross the boundary to chatting, pornography, and something else, you are getting into an area which is extramarital affair. And there are so extramarital affairs now through these websites. And we are losing so many families now, both wives and husbands, because of the internet. At least every week, I have a case or more lost. The effect is tremendous on the stability of the family. The computer is a blessing or a curse now. It could be either. But if you are going towards a curse, take care. It could be used by Satan or by God. You can do whatever good by your computer. But if you are spending all your time, even in good things on the computer, it's much worse than the TV. Because you are glued to the screen and there's no communication and care with your family. Who will take care of the children? Who will take care of the other spouse? Your prayer even could be hindered. Your Bible could be hindered. No, I'm studying Bible on the internet. I'm chatting about Bible. Maybe you understand more than me. But I'm telling you, if you get into your room with your spouse and read your Bible, it's far better. It will add to the intimacy, spiritual intimacy, as we're going to discuss later. What is midlife crisis? Midlife crisis, is it mostly for men or women? All the books in the past maybe 10 years, they were citing men. In the past few years, women are starting to happen, to show in that crisis. Midlife crisis usually happen after maybe 14, 15, 16 years of marriage. When the age will be over 45, you are not young anymore, and you are spending too much time at your work, in the hostel or in your office or your business, and it's a very young person, early 20s, and you want to show to her or to him that you are not 50, you are far less, then you will do whatever type of clothing, the way you speak, your perfume, your hair, if you have any still, and you will do whatever to be as if you are still in your late 20s or early 30s. You want to look younger. Midlife crisis is an extra marital affair. You spend most of your time at work and be connected to a secretary or someone who is with you, spending more time, a nurse in the hospital, you are a surgeon and she is in the OR, operating room, and you spend with her more time than with your spouse, chatting and talking and having fun and joking and kidding, and something will happen. She will praise the skill of your hands. Your wife is not doing that. You could have a belly, but still, you are very smart. She will see in you what your wife is not seeing, for a reason. Extramarital affairs these days could be at the work site, it could be through computers, but mostly due to an absent spouse, whether from my mind or really physically absent, not in my heart, not in my mind, I will be involved. How to prevent this? Acknowledge your age. Get to the right priorities. God, your spouse, your children, inside the circle. Is there anybody who's immune? No. All of us could fall in the trick of Satan if we are not cautious. If our priorities are not highly set, what could be the rate of incidence of extramarital affairs? I'm not quoting myself in my practice, but sometimes I'm seeing 1 to 3 cases a week. And they are calling me from everywhere, from Australia, from Canada, from Europe, sometimes from Egypt, to the extent I feel, is everybody now an extramarital affair? Of course not. But it is on the increase. Because always the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Always. There might be time to give you some reasons for those extramarital affairs when I get to spirituality and sexuality in Christian marriage, but it's a long topic. Extramarital affairs are on the increase, especially through the internet. The church must have a stand against that in our teaching. Still, we are handicapped towards the computer and what's happening in the computer and the internet. But sex addiction is a tragedy these days. Sex addiction is a tragedy these days. I hope God will keep the purity of the family, the holiness of the family. We stay inside the circle of His divine grace, and the ultimate unity between the spouse and Christ will happen as soon as we can, and to be our first priority to unite with God and our spouses. God bless you. Any questions?
I just have a few questions. The first one, when you're talking about the priorities, God, the spouse, children, and family, I think, I understand that in the beginning when you get married, the spouse is in the second place. But doesn't he lose his place when the children come? Because you have to take care of the children. How does that work? I don't understand.
I know the marital satisfaction curve will get less.
Obviously, yes.
But you don't, or we must not forget about our spouses. My spouse will be involved with me in caring, rearing, and raising the children.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, he could feed them by the bottle. He could change diaper, but it doesn't mean that I won't have time to kiss him and hug him.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, Yani, is he going to be the one waking up at night? You know?
I'm serious about that. Why? Because some men are so demanding, mm-hmm. and some women are so neglectful. Let us be moderate. Modesty is good. Nothing wrong after you're so tired and he is so tired at the end of the day, to kiss one another good night. Nothing wrong. To wish a good night for one another and sleep.
Right.
Nothing wrong if the baby will wake you in the middle of the night, that he or you will come and go and rush for the baby. But a good tender touch will be very needed, well needed to both of you. And I'm not talking at all about sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the compassion and tenderness and the warmth in the marriage. Still, there's something called babysitting.
Right.
And you can still, even for 1 hour, you could walk with your husband once a month, once a week, outside, even to McDonald's. We can't say intimacy will stop. We have spiritual intimacy, we have companionship, we have intellectual intimacy or communication, we have affection or emotional intimacy, we have touches, and we have complete sexuality. The husband is not an animal, and the woman is not something which is untouchable. The refuge could advise. The marital satisfaction curve dips down with the birth of the first baby, but for how long? It goes up again. So be considerate, both of you, to one another. Thank you.
Thank you. I have another question. When you talk about accommodation of, let's say, the mother of the husband or the mother of the... Yani, whether the mother or the father, did you say that it was preferable to have them not in your home?
I didn't say that.
No, okay.
I'm saying I prefer I didn't say not. I say I prefer for myself even I could be in a separate, living in a separate apartment as close as I can to their house or to their apartment. Why? You avoid so many conflicts if this is available, affordable.
Right.
And if he or she could take care of themselves.
Okay.
We could care for them by visiting every day and phone. And in senior citizen building, there are so many precautions. You know, you could pull a wire or a thread and something will ring in the manager and the nurse and if anything. But if there's a special care which needs their presence in your home, accommodating them at your home, be careful by setting certain guidelines. It's a blessing. It is a blessing to care for one of the parents who needs care to the last day of their life. But be careful, without boundaries, your marriage might be affected. And I said, I will repeat, the refuge is so important by his advices in that situation. Am I clear in that now?
Yes, very. I was just afraid that you were saying that.
Okay.
You know, but I understand, thank you. Okay, one last one.
Any other questions?
One last one? It's about friends and activities. You said that you have to have activities with your spouse. Can you have activities like by yourself and with your spouse? Let's say boys night out, girls night out. Well, it's not preferable.
I don't understand. Yes. I prefer, of course, for the activities to be shared. But each one of you must have his or her own space. If you go to do your nails, he will not go with you.
Yep,
if you go for your hair, he will not go with you. It's not a suffocating relationship. Don't feel that. We don't suffocate one another. If you want to meet one of his friends, single friends, let him do that. But not to be a routine every week, every day, whether for you or for him. The routine, what's usual, is shared activities, which is companionship. Activities is companionship. But we don't suffocate one another. Each one must have his own space. Because if you feel suffocated in the marital relationship, it's against the marital relationship.
Thank you.
How often can a refuge be consulted? Meaning if different points of view due to different tastes or interests, how often can we consult a refuge, and also given into consideration like 90% of men do not accept the idea of a refuge?
I said from the beginning, it's better to have a refuge. It's unfortunate if one of the spouses will not accept that idea. I know some spouses, especially men, who don't accept even that you go and confess to your father of confession. As if you are committing a sin. He will ask you when you return, what did you tell him? What did you tell him? I told him my sins. What did you tell him? I am your husband. And we are so intimate. We are one. Why you don't tell me your sins? No. There's privacy. Spiritual privacy. It's one of my rights. confidentiality of my sins between me, God, and the Father of Confession. So, I know some of the spouses don't prefer the idea of a refuge. The rate of separation and divorce is much higher, or at least the rate of a very low marital satisfaction is in these cases. Before, in the villages, there was wise men and wise women whom we could consult. Villages anywhere in Africa or anywhere. Now, we are living in the town, in the big cities, metropolitan areas, and everybody does know everybody. The only one whom we know very well, the church, Fathers of Confession. I'm not asking you to take a refuge, marriage counselor, Christian marriage counselor. No, Fathers of Confession. And how often you go? You could go to him as often as you want. And as often as the father will accept that. But don't stay more than 3 months with unresolved conflicts. Do your best with the spouse to pray and sit together and discuss. And I will discuss in that spiritual day on Saturday communication during the conflicts, how to do it. Do your best. But if you can't reach to a resolution, we have to consult with the refuge. Could I consult alone with the refuge? I said yes before. Without telling my spouse, nothing wrong. To tell him I am going to my spiritual advisor. Why? For something private, I want to tell him. No, there has to be 100% openness in the marriage. Unrealistic expectation. Very unrealistic. Don't expect there to be 100% openness. Because sometimes, because of my love to my spouse, I'm not going to tell him what's happening in my work. It will bother him or it will bother her. It's not a sin, but someone is hitting on me. I will tell him, somebody is hitting on me at my work. And you know how to deal with it. How? By the advice of your Father of Confession. Don't bother his mind. Don't trouble his or her mind by that. Because they may think more than needed. So, I advise the presence of a refuge. But if you are unlucky, and your spouse or your fiancé from the beginning say no, we will be able to resolve all our conflicts by ourselves. Think of paranoia. Exclude suspicion of his or her mind. Because why not to go to a Father of Confession whenever you want? And then if the person is not paranoid or not suspicion, I assure you will accept. Even if he's Saidi from Upper Egypt, he will accept that.
So this is not only for major issues, you mean? It can
this,
still...
This not?
It's not for major issues, consulting a refuge. It's not only... Because
of course.
We can have disagreements anytime, like every day, but I mean, that's why I'm asking, is it always like... major issues, or it can still be for minor things?
Any minor issue which will stay for 3 months unresolved, it will be a major issue.
Yeah.
There's any minor issue which will continue to be unresolved for 3 months, it means resistance of the mind and something is happening. Anything remaining over 3 months, please go and take the advice. And if you don't want to go and resolve it, or God will resolve it for you, that's good. God will speak to your mind directly and your heart directly, fine. But if you want to ask Abuna, I will talk about our culture. Abuna, my husband insists to eat puluchiyya every day. And my children don't want that. Abuna, what do you advise?
Yeah.
He would tell you, do muluchiyah for him and something else also for the children. But it doesn't mean that. I'm talking about real conflict. Real conflict which will stay for some time unresolved. Because one of the reasons for separation and divorce, unresolved conflicts. One of the major reasons for anger and domestic violence is unresolved marital conflicts. If we have the access to someone who will help us to resolve our conflicts, let us use it. God bless you.
Thank you.
Doctor, you mentioned the mid-age crisis starts somewhere in the mid-40s. I want to know when do they stop, or if this is a phenomenon that starts at that time, is there a range of time that it withers down or can go on and on?
Yes. It usually starts after 14 or 15 years of marriage. And it usually starts when you feel that you are getting older and those around you are much younger and you want to exactly behave as if you are in your 20s. Some, it starts with them just reaching 40. But I never heard about midlife crisis after 60. In the books, it's mentioning from 35 to 55. Because maybe some young men now 35 are feeling old or behaving old, I don't know. And this is the age. But usually it starts between 40 and 50. It could extend to mid-50s, but not after 60. I hope they are getting wiser after 60. I hope so. I have seen cases more than over 70. And still have affairs. But we don't call it mid-life. This means his life will be 150 years old. It's mid-life. Or the mid-life of the marriage. Because most marriages, 30 to 50 years. After that, God will take care of us after that.